Good afternoon on a soggy gray day. This is Seattle Now, coming to you from the KUOW newsroom, where we're pretty much all in rain boots today. I'm Paige Browning with a roundup of today's top stories. It's Monday, December 8th. Today was only the beginning of the atmospheric river, and the National Weather Service is warning people to be ready for major flooding throughout western Washington. Meteorologist Dustin Guy at the Weather Service says this atmospheric river is expected to dump several inches of rain on the lowlands and up to 10 inches on the mountains by week's end.
And then in addition to the river flooding, we'll be looking at urban and small stream flooding as well, just because of the heavy rainfall. It's going to take some time for all that water to drain off as well, so we'll be looking at probably some flooding as well around the metro area over the next couple, 3 days.
The Skykomish River near Gold Bar could rise by 9 feet overnight. The Snoqualmie River and the Skagit River could reach major flood stage by tomorrow. If you're in those floodplains, officials want you to place sandbags on your property. People can get free sandbagging materials from the King County Flood Control District. Just go to the King County website to find out where you can pick up those items. Most of the pickup locations are self-serve and open 24/7.
Hey there, from the KUOW newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Patricia Murphy with a roundup of today's top stories. It's Tuesday, December 9th. We're going to get another big bout of weather. Major flooding is forecast for areas around western Washington between tonight and Friday. And as Noelle Gaska reports, communities east of Seattle are getting ready.
The city of Carnation sits at the junction of two rivers the National Weather Service has issued flood warnings for: the Snoqualmie River and the Tolt River. Rhonda Ender is the city manager for Carnation. As roads get shut down due to flooding and drivers look for alternate routes, Ender has straightforward advice. If you see water, turn around.
Please be safe. Better to stay home for a couple days than to go on a dangerous roadway, and situations can change very rapidly.
Ender is also telling her neighbors to stock up on groceries and get ready to ride out the storm. The flood warning for the Snoqualmie River is expected to stay in effect until Friday morning. Noelle Gaska, KUOW News.
Good afternoon. Coming to you as the rivers are rising and wet, blustery weather keeps us on alert. This is KUOW Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning with a roundup of today's top stories. It's Wednesday, December 10th. Flooding is causing evacuations, road closures, and rivers to rise. We have a lot to share with you tonight, so buckle up to hear what's going on with your neighbors in the region this drenched day. First, Governor Bob Ferguson has issued a statewide emergency declaration in response to the intense flooding Washingtonians are experiencing this week. And as Noelle Gaska reports, emergency responders are preparing for evacuations.
Robert Azell is the director of the Washington Military Department's Emergency Management Division. He says a number of rivers are expected to reach or exceed record flood levels, including the Skagit River in northwest Washington.
So what that means is, and what we're hearing from the county, is they're preparing to evacuate 75,000 people who are living in the low-lying areas.
Azell says they're also anticipating levees on the Skagit River to be overtopped as the atmospheric river stretches into Friday. Governor Ferguson says he'll request an expedited emergency declaration from the federal government. Noelle Gaska, KUOW News.
About 40 homes near the Puyallup River are under a go-now evacuation order. They're in the Pierce County town of Orting. Other parts of the city are under an evacuation watch. The atmospheric river has not relented, and it's filling rivers and low-lying areas. Here's what the Cedar River sounded like rushing past the Renton Library today. As of our recording time at 4 p.m., multiple roads are closed in the Puget Sound region because of standing water on the roads. Eastbound I-90 is closed through the town of Snoqualmie, which sits along the Snoqualmie River. Nearby, State Route 202 is closed from Falls City Road to Fish Hatchery Road. State Route 410 is closed completely between Puyallup and Sumner and a stretch east of Enumclaw. And in Orting, State Route 162 is shut down. There's a link in the show notes to look up real-time closures. But for now, we are in the thick of the atmospheric river system, not out of the woods yet. Meteorologist Steve Reedy is with the National Weather Service.
Over here in western Washington, we have 22 rivers in flood stage right now. What we're particularly concerned about is this rainfall as it makes its way over the Cascades. That water is going to run down and further escalate river levels.
Reedy says flooding on the Skagit, Skykomish, and Snohomish rivers are top concerns. We'll probably reach the peak of the storm this afternoon and tonight, and it should taper off tomorrow morning. A shout out to you listening tonight. If you are affected or a loved one is, send us a note or a voicemail, that's even better, and we may use it on KUOW. Good afternoon. From the KUOW newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning with a roundup of today's top stories. It's Thursday, December 11th. Catastrophic conditions continue to threaten Western Washington in the wake of an atmospheric river system that's now moving out of the region. There is still potential for loss of life. And with so many impacts, we have a special show tonight focused on the flooding and its effects. Here are the top things to know tonight. 78,000 people in Skagit County are under evacuation orders because the Skagit River is way over its banks and could crest at record heights early tomorrow morning. In a press conference today, Governor Bob Ferguson said people need to listen to these orders.
We understand that many folks have experienced significant floods in the past and that they may feel they can ride it out. The flooding levels we're looking at are potentially historic in nature, and so we just want to emphasize how serious the situation is.
Ferguson has requested an emergency declaration, which Washington's congressional delegation is backing. Ferguson's had two meetings with FEMA authorities about the need for assistance. In Mount Vernon, there is a flood wall to protect the town. Today, water is leaching through, but it's still holding up. Skagit County Commissioner Lisa Janicki says people should avoid driving through standing water or going near local dikes if they don't need to.
What I did see that is nuts is people are walking their dogs on the tops of these dikes that may fail.
Officials say this flood is testing the security of dikes that were repaired after flooding 4 years ago. Joshua McNichols is reporting from Skagit County today, and he came across a memory care facility in Cedro Woolley that had to be evacuated.
And it's got caution tape around it. And I kind of ducked inside and asked the folks inside what had happened, and they evacuated everybody. So they've moved to like a sister facility, or a bunch of people went, you know, home with their families. Their families are taking care of them. And then, you know, on that street, there was a police officer going door to door on Dunlop Street there telling people that they need to leave, and they were going to close that street right off.
Flooding is also a problem today in parts of King County. Flooding from the Cedar River is forcing some people from their homes, and Ann Dornfeld spoke with one of them, an evacuee in Maple Valley.
Gina Simmons fled her home near the river yesterday. Today, her son-in-law waded through the floodwaters engulfing her house to rescue family photographs.
I put them up high, but I never expected the water in the house to get so high, so then I was afraid the furniture they were on would start floating and we'd lose them too.
She hopes her chickens are able to roost high enough to escape the overflowing river. It's rushing too quickly past their coop to rescue them. Simmons says in 20 years, there's never been flooding like this. Ann Dornfeld, KUOW News.
There is also a flood warning for the Puyallup River area. Our colleagues talked to Rebecca Rowe, who manages an evacuated RV park, the River Park Estate. She and her husband have been helping people leave, but are still there.
It is scary to know that you're going to lose all your stuff. You know, you get to a certain age and you just find a little piece of property and you say, I'm going to live the American dream. You know, you talk about all your life and I'm going to go fishing. So there's a river to go fishing and there's a little garden, and then it all gets wiped out in the day.
Rose says the water has reached the driveway of her mobile home and she'll evacuate before it's at her front door.
I said, if it goes up to the third step, we're out of here.
If the water gets too high, they plan on canoeing out with their two dogs.
Some Washington state residents are beginning to return to their homes after major flooding this week. Floodwaters have started to recede after rivers reach record levels in part of the state. But officials warn it still could be weeks before some areas are safe to return. Scientists say this week's flooding is a peek into the future, as climate change is expected to drive more frequent and more intense flooding in the Pacific Northwest. KUOW environment reporter John Ryan has been looking into this, and he joins us now from Seattle. Hi, John.
Hi, Miles.
So why has there been so much flooding? What exactly made this storm so damaging?
Well, the Northwest got hit by a series of storms known as atmospheric rivers. And these are long, narrow storm systems that cross the Pacific Ocean. They funnel moisture up from the subtropics, hence their local nickname, the Pineapple Express. And they're perfectly normal this time of year and how the Northwest gets a lot of its winter precipitation. But the bigger atmospheric rivers, they do cause flooding. So in this case, our region was hit by two pretty big storms back to back that overwhelmed our rivers. And by the time the latest storm hit, the ground was already super saturated and it just couldn't absorb any more water. So it all just ran straight into the rivers. And forecasters say we will have another atmospheric river arriving on Sunday.
Whoa. So scientists also say that the Pacific Northwest should expect more of this as the global climate keeps getting warmer. How is climate change playing into all of this?
So scientists say it's not clear whether these storms this week are already being fueled by climate change in a big way. But they say the science is clear that a hotter climate will mean more frequent atmospheric rivers and rivers that last longer and deliver more rain. And that's because, really simply, that warmer air can hold more water, and then it can unleash more of that water when it's time to rain, and that's expected to drive more flooding. And as the climate warms, we'll also be expecting more precipitation in our winters coming as rain instead of snow. And snow, of course, melts slowly over months, but rain can run off instantly and cause big flooding.
I mean, is there anything that communities in the region can do to prepare for these changes? Are there ways to prevent this kind of flooding?
Well, we can't really prevent the flooding, but we can reduce the damage. And so the damage from a big storm isn't just about how big the storm is, but about how the region maybe has prepared for it in advance. So there are ways to reduce the damage, like by not building in dangerous places that are vulnerable to flooding, or leaving flood-prone land unpaved whenever possible, so the land can soak up the rain instead of shooting it off immediately into some nearby creek or river. And this kind of approach can even work in cities where, most land is going to be paved. I spoke with Mead Crosby. She's a scientist at the University of Washington's Climate Impacts Group.
Things like rain gardens, green roofs, permeable pavement, like anything that can help absorb and slow down and spread out the water before it overwhelms our stormwater systems and causes flooding.
And Crosby warns that these kind of adaptation strategies can really only work in the long term if the world also slashes the pollution from fossil fuel burning that keeps making our climate hotter and stormier.
And that's John Ryan from KUOW. Thanks for the update, John.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon and happy Friday. From the KUOW Newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning. Hope you're staying safe and dry today if you can, as we have a lot more flooding news to tell you about. It's Friday, December 12th. The Trump administration has granted Washington State's request for emergency assistance as it deals with disastrous flooding. That unlocks federal funding for property owners who don't have flood insurance. It could be days, if not weeks, before things get back to normal, according to Governor Bob Ferguson.
We want to communicate to Washingtonians. This situation is extremely unpredictable. And if you have instructions to evacuate, please, please evacuate.
About 100,000 people are still under evacuation orders. Entire roads, farms, and buildings are underwater after torrential flooding on the Skagit and other rivers. Robert Ezell is director of the state's Emergency Management Division, and he says rivers are expected to remain high for days.
They're not going to drop quickly, and so we need to keep our eyes on what's going on in the situation that we're experiencing. And then coming up, we see more weather coming early next week, which is going to cause rivers to rise again.
He says most rivers won't rise to the level we saw this week. People are urged to stay clear of their homes until local officials say it's safe to go back. There have been dozens of rescues.
Rivers in western Washington state are still swelling because of heavy rainfall. Historic flooding forced tens of thousands to evacuate, and more rain is expected today. Here's Scott Greenstone at member station KUOW.
Two atmospheric rivers, essentially rivers in the sky, have hit Washington state in the last 5 days. Rivers on the ground, like the Skagit, grew and flooded thousands of homes and roads. Helicopters fly overhead, ready to swoop down to help. Hundreds of rescues have taken place. Many areas saw 12 to 16 inches of rainfall in 2 days. Up high in the mountains, warmer temperatures meant snow turned to water, feeding rivers at their source. Reed Wolcott is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. He says dams filled upstream.
They're emptying as fast as they can, but there is not a lot of space up there for additional rainfall, which means that we can't hold back that much water.
At one point, 100,000 people were told to flee their homes across the state. More than 26,000 remained under evacuation orders Sunday. Authorities aren't reporting any fatalities yet. The town of Sumas, mere feet from the Canadian border, was a brown lake for days. Saturday, waters receded enough, the main road reopened. FEMA estimates an inch of water can cause $25,000 of damage. Ryan Wittig's home saw 12 inches of water. Volunteers helped him tear out wet insulation and carry out appliances.
Our new gas oven. As you see water draining out of it as they have it tilted, it was ruined.
Floods are becoming more common here. 30 days after Wittig's family moved into this house in 2021, a different flood forced them to spend years in a camper out back while rebuilding. Wittig is a contractor who was working construction on a local diner before this flood. He said, with money tight, Christmas is postponed this year.
So we've had about a year and a half in the house since the last flood, technically.
With heavy wind and rain in the forecast ahead, Sumas is taking a breath and hoping for the best. Dams and levees across the region are being reinforced with rock and gravel. For NPR News, I'm Scott Greenstone in Sumas.
People across Washington state are recovering from record river floods after days of heavy rain. A levee failed near Seattle on Monday. So what about the others in the state? Casey Martin from our member station KUOW in Seattle reports more inclement weather ahead.
Flooding rivers and streams have displaced hundreds of people in western Washington. Evacuation orders have been going out almost daily. But Eric Fenchel was surprised when someone from the county showed up suddenly at the casino he manages.
Told us we should have everyone evacuated, that the levee broke upstream there.
Businesses hurry to get their doors closed when word spread that the levee had broken. Fenchel says he had to get close to 100 guests and staff out of the casino.
It was not easy. Some of our customers don't speak English, but once we got it translated, they all understood. Nobody wants to lose their car or life.
His casino, called the Riverside, sits right on the banks of the flooding river. A pool of water filled his parking lot and was pouring down into the basement.
We can't really assess it yet. We won't really know much else until the water goes down.
After days of near nonstop rain, much of the ground is saturated and there's nowhere for new water to go. This was the first levee to fail on this long, twisting river. It's been patched up with large nylon soaking sacks. Tsai Singtong was riding his bike along the Green River when he got the alert that the levee had broken.
It looked like it's about to reach the main street. Some parts of the trail, there's a sign, detour, you can't ride through.
He hurried up a riverbank and saw that it was stripped bare.
Some of the trees are missing from the water.
Officials say they're closely watching other levees, which they say aren't built to hold back so much water for so long. This area is south of Seattle. It's semi-industrial and home to a lot of people who work at the airport. North of the city, farmers are still putting their lives back together, surrounded by flooded fields. There was a slight break in the rain to start this week, but Reed Wilcott at the National Weather Service in Seattle says winter is still ahead.
This is one small, relatively small event in the greater disaster that is unfolding across the Pacific Northwest.
Recovery could take weeks as debris is cleared and roads are reopened. More rain in the forecast could likely slow that down. For NPR News, I'm Casey Martin in Seattle.
It's now being called a crisis of significant proportions in Washington state.
While it will be some time before we know the full scope of the emotional, physical, and financial impact, this natural disaster is undoubtedly one of the most devastating in our state's history.
Today, Governor Bob Ferguson implored people to stay alert about storm impacts, saying we're in it for the long haul.
All that water is putting a lot of stress on our infrastructure, and we're seeing that in real time. And that is something I just want to emphasize to Washingtonians to be alert. If you get an evacuation order, for God's sakes, follow it.
In Skagit County, farms remain under standing water. In King County, people in Pacific are evacuated until at least 7:45 tonight because of flooding from the White River. And this morning, officials reported the first death from the floods. A man died trying to navigate a submerged road. Natalie Akane-Newcomb has more.
Snohomish County Fire and Rescue says a person died after driving past a road closure sign and onto a flooded street. The vehicle wound up in a ditch with 6 feet of standing water off of Marsh Road. Rescue teams tried to save the 33-year-old, but he died at the scene. South of Seattle, flash flood warnings are in effect. Evacuation orders were broadcast to residents of Pacific via the King County Sheriff's helicopter in the middle of the night after a levee failed on the White River. A levee on the Green River also failed yesterday, but those evacuation orders have since been lifted. Natalie Akane-Newcomb, KUOW News.
Another major announcement we got today, Highway 2 could be closed for several months in the Leavenworth area of Washington State. That's the word from Governor Ferguson.
We understand the implications to business and individuals and human lives on not having that highway available for an extended period of time. We're going to do everything we possibly can to repair it as quickly as possible, but there's major, major issues on that highway.
Crews will have to rebuild 49 miles of Highway 2 between Skykomish and Leavenworth, where it's inundated with debris and water. Washington State's now trying to secure a major disaster declaration for the region-wide crisis. For the short term, the state's identified $3.5 million from the state budget to assist people impacted by the crisis.
This is KUOW News. I'm Kim Malcolm in Seattle. In Whatcom County, floodwaters from the Nooksack River have caused widespread damage and evacuations. As of last night, three main access roads from the Lummi Reservation near Ferndale were cut off. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
I'm standing on the very swollen banks of the Nooksack River near Ferndale. A flock of trumpeter swans is enjoying the swollen water. But the river is blocking Slater Road. That is the main access road to the Lummi Reservation. 4 years ago, the reservation was completely cut off from the outside world by floodwaters. The medical clinic ended up boating its staffers in so they could keep the clinic open. This year, the access has not been cut off entirely, but there's more rain in the forecast, and it's likely that this flooding event isn't over yet.
Maddie Krerar and her daughter are standing on the asphalt where Slater Road disappears beneath the river.
I am going out to Lummi Clinic.
You have an appointment there?
Yeah.
Krerar says she doesn't know how she'll get to her appointment.
There is a log over the roadway. There's lots of water.
But she's not too flustered by having to figure out a detour.
I guess I'm just more concerned with people in the community getting the resources and help that they need right now.
Retiree John Duesberg of Ferndale often goes for walks here, but not today.
It's my favorite trail that I walk 5 days a week. It's just a beautiful area, but right now it's just inundated with water.
The flat areas near major rivers like this are called floodplains, and flooding there can help absorb a river's overflow before it does much harm.
We do need to have areas where water can overflow without damaging homes and, you know, hurting people.
Atmospheric rivers and the flooding they can bring are expected to get worse as human pollution keeps warming the global climate. Warmer air can hold and release more moisture. The Lummi Nation declared a flood emergency on Thursday after the Nooksack River cut off most of the reservation's access points. The low-lying reservation is regularly flooded by high river flows and high tides. Lummi officials were in a tribal council meeting Friday and could not be reached for comment. But they say the tribe has made it a priority to elevate Slater Road above the Nooksack River so the tribe doesn't get cut off again. Reporting from Ferndale, John Ryan, KUOW News.
Highway 2 over Stevens Pass could be closed for months due to flood damage, and businesses in Leavenworth are worried about what it could mean for tourism. Joshua McNichols has that story.
Up here, people call Leavenworth Christmas Town because so many people come to shop and see the holiday lighting and to see animals that allegedly pull Santa's sleigh.
We typically see about 120,000 visitors a year on the farm.
That's Erica Bowie, owner of the Leavenworth Reindeer Farm.
Right now, we are seeing hundreds of cancellations come in every day.
She says her farm will be okay. New visitors will probably snap up the canceled reservation slots. And Seattleites can still reach Leavenworth via I-90. Unfortunately, it may be a slow go. There's emergency repair work being done on that highway, too. Joshua McNichols, KUOW News.
State regulators are looking into claims that two Skagit Valley farms had workers on duty during the catastrophic flooding the region saw last week. Monica Nicholsberg reports.
As an advocate with Community to Community, it's Lucy Madigal's job to check on farm workers in the Skagit Valley. So when she heard reports that workers were in the Brussels sprout fields at Skagit Valley Farm after dark last Wednesday, she went out to see for herself. Madigal says she saw workers operating heavy machinery in the mud after an evacuation order was issued for the area.
I feel upset and sad of like the fact that it's always farm workers that get left behind. Like everybody else gets to go home, prepare for the worst, but yet why are there still workers outside working?
The next morning, an advocate she works with saw workers processing potatoes at Knudsen Farms. The State Department of Labor and Industries has opened an investigation into the claims. Neither farm responded to requests to comment. Monica Nicholsberg, KUOW News.
Hundreds of families across Washington state have had to leave their homes because of catastrophic river flooding. Some find refuge at emergency shelters. Casey Martin from member station KUOW in Seattle takes us there.
Giovanni Burke just turned 8 years old this month, though he can't always remember what day exactly.
My birthday.
What day was it?
December 6th.
December 6th.
His mom, Ashana, helps him out. She has two sons. The three of them are sleeping at a Red Cross shelter about an hour south of Seattle. Earlier this week, they evacuated their apartment, along with hundreds of other people in the area, because of flooding rivers.
My landlord just knocked on the door and just said, oh, you guys need to leave now because you have kids. So we just left.
The three of them are sleeping in a large gym inside a community center with about 80 other people. The shelter has room for hundreds more during the day. And there are a lot of parents here. About half of the people in the shelter are kids, including a six-week-old.
Some family have five kids. You know, we have newborns in there. They're just trying to get cribs and all kinds of diapers and supplies.
Joy Austin came to the shelter last week when the floodwater started to creep toward her doorstep. There are 10 shelters like this in Washington right now. They opened last week when multiple rivers flooded, some setting new records. South of Seattle, county officials say two flood barriers failed, pouring water into neighborhoods. The Red Cross says so far more than 1,100 people have checked in to one of these shelters. Austin says parents are getting hit the hardest.
They're worrying about Christmas coming up and just how you're just going to make ends meet and not knowing what you're going to go back home to, if you're even going to have a home.
Austin has kids too, but she sent them to stay with family before the floods hit. Now she's trying to find a way to get to them and figure out where they'll go next. That's a problem for hundreds of families in the state, where the rain is still coming down. For NPR News, I'm Casey Martin, south of Seattle.